Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to the Side Action, episode 15. I am Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at WegsPool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, how was your big weekend, Steve?
It was a good weekend. Got a lot of college football watching in after the happy hour Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Went out a little bit Saturday night and played some ping pong, Ace Bounce.
I love that place.
And lounged around all day Sunday and got some NFL Sunday Ticket on.
Oh, attaboy.
How about yourself?
I didn't do a lot. I watched some college championship games on Saturday. We were watching the Pac-12 title game, as you know, at the happy hour on Friday. You guys are happy. We'll talk about that in a minute, but Washington did take them down. And then, obviously, I was interested in some of those other ones for betting purposes. My touch in college is completely gone. Lost two more. But on the pro side, I went 3-0 again. So, guess what? No more betting college football until maybe a couple bowls.
So, the Wegs Index has stayed hot.
The Wegs Index is red hot, man. It's smoking hot. So, hopefully, I can win some money in Mahar's pool. I was one pick away, actually. They're talking about that, too, the Chargers-Steelers game. But yeah, Sunday I didn't get to watch as many games as I'd like, but that's okay. I always track it on my phone where I go.
Yeah. I had an up and down weekend too. Won a tiny bit on Saturday with the college championship games, and then Sunday I had a pretty good day too, although I probably should start following the Wegs Index so I can have really great days.
That's right. I mean, that's my only way I can still get picks in the head-to-head against you. So, and then tell us about your big trip to the Loyola Nevada game last week.
Yeah, Broccoli Rob and I went up to Loyola and saw the Ramblers take on Nevada Wolfpack.
Nice.
And I tell you what, Nevada was supremely impressive in that little gym.
Yeah, I bet.
Their defense was a lot better than I expected to see.
Mm-hmm.
The two Martin twins are as good as advertised, and Jordan Caroline was just a bruiser.
Yeah, he's
playing
good
defense and scoring a lot as well.
Did Musselman take a shirt off after the game?
I did not see Musselman take a shirt off. They all had some pretty cool kicks on, though, on the sideline. The whole Nevada staff had these Adidas shoes, which was noteworthy. And we saw a few celebs in attendance, too.
Really? Besides, yeah. Sister Jean, did Broccoli Bob get a photo op with Sister Jean?
No sideline photos this time, but we saw Sister Jean. We mm-hmm. saw Tom Ricketts in the concourse.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Marion was there.
Oh, that's cool. Did Marion go to Nevada or something?
I couldn't figure out why. I just assumed that it's a popular draw because the Wolfpack are so good.
Okay, cool.
It was a good time, though. Great to see that Nevada team play in person.
Oh, yeah. Definitely something I'll remember. Awesome, especially that smaller gym. That's cool. Yeah, we already mentioned the happy hour. It was a fairly well attended, a little bit lighter than normal, but we'll try to pump up some more events for our podcast later and get some more people out there. And then Action Wagers on the National Championship Hoops already?
Yeah, we had a little wager in the crowd on Friday night. One of the listeners, friends of the podcast, thought that Duke is a surefire national champion.
Yeah.
So I challenged him a little bit and asked what kind of odds he would give me on the field.
Really?
And we settled on 2-3. The Duke better, my cousin, got 3-2 on the Blue Devils.
Okay.
And I'm taking 2-3 on the field.
Okay. That sounds good. I guess I did sort of remember. It's a little hazy after a couple of Manhattans, actually, but I do remember some discussion of that. And of course, Mikey was always bold. So,
I hope he remembers too, because I'd like to collect when Duke loses in the tournament.
It's documented here on the Side Action Podcast, episode 15, Mike. So
that's right.
All right. Well, let's review the rest of the podcast here. We'll jump in and do our recap in the head-to-head. We'll also go over the NFL takeaways from this week. There were several big stories, actually. Then we'll go back into college football, and we'll talk about some early action on bowls that we like. There is the Army-Navy game this week, and we'll also talk a little bit about the Heisman Trophy. That's a big discussion as well. Get back into the NFL, look at our statistics that we always do, and in the Wegs Index, some key injuries that were really essential this week, and then the spots we like in the NFL, and see if we can both stay hot. Also, a little spoiler alert. As in the news, Green Bay Packers head coach was fired, so we'll talk about some futures there as well. And then finally, we'll jump into the college basketball discussion, which you've been using your index, and I got to do some research this week and look at a couple spots as well. And then we'll do our head-to-head at the back end because we actually added some college basketball talk. No NBA this week. Sorry, NBA fans. We will get back to you next week and dig into a little more content. Is that all? Everything?
I think you got it all. I'm excited to add some college hoops into the head-to-head this week and see if I can finally close the gap.
I'm confident you will. You'll surpass me shortly. So, all right. Well, let's talk about the head-to-head segment. We actually went 2-2 again this week. I was able to keep you at bay. I'm still 28-26-2 right now. Mm-hmm. The first game was actually the Washington game we talked about. It was the Pac-12 championship. Utah was playing Washington. Utah was getting 5 points in the game. The game was played in Levi Stadium or whatever,
yep, for Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. Uh-huh. And it was a slugfest. These are the two best defenses in the Pac-12. It was not a great game to watch or follow, actually. And the result was Washington won 10-3. What did you think of that game?
I was thankful that we had the happy hour ongoing, so we didn't have to watch much of it. It was on over in the corner, but I don't think either of us really paid attention.
Yeah.
And I read a little bit about it and read that it was very ugly. Mm-hmm. Utah managed 188 total yards in the game and only one scoring opportunity. Ultimately, that Washington defense really had its way and held them to 3 points. So, and it turns out I read that the touchdown the Huskies scored was on some sort of botched
You didn't see the replay.
No,
yeah, it was it was kind of like a 10 or 12 yard out pattern. The Ute player basically looked like he caught the ball but hit his hands. He was going to the ground, hit his leg, popped up in the air, and the Washington cornerback took it the other way for the pick six.
Wow.
So there was no offensive score in this game.
I'll take it as a cover, though.
No, you beat me with that. So, and I lost money on that game as well. So
now for Washington, it's on to the Rose Bowl to face off with Ohio State in what could be Urban Meyer's last game.
That's right. That's
foreshadowing.
Right. Exactly. And then Utah is going to face Northwestern in the Holiday Bowl. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. The other college game was Memphis was going to UCF. Actually, that was a home game for UCF in the American Athletic Conference Championship. Memphis was getting 3 points. We talked about how the quarterback for UCF was out. You know, he had that tragic injury to his knee. But I was sticking with UCF just thinking they'd play for the fallen quarterback, and it worked out that way. They played a great game. They were getting hammered early. In fact, they were down, you said 38-21. I think it was even worse than that earlier. But in the second half, they just rolled that team and closed out, and they won going away. So they not only covered the number, they won pretty easily by double digits.
Yeah, it was an incredible comeback. I was watching the first half pretty intently, and Henderson was running all over them.
He was.
Touchdowns, a couple of long touchdown runs. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, they were up 38-21 at halftime. And I was so confident in my Memphis pick, I logged in and bet on them in the second half, too. And after a few games of ping pong, I turned around and I saw that the UCF backup quarterback, Daryl Mack Jr., ran for 4 touchdowns in the second half.
Yep.
And they came back to win the game. It was a tough loss for me, but good pick by yourself, Wex.
Thanks. I think the big thing in that game that I noticed was in the first half, UCF just could not stop Memphis on their offense. I don't know what adjustment they made in the second half, but they were still scoring on Memphis. It just was they couldn't stop them. So in the second half, they turned the tables and then they shut the door. So it was exciting. And unfortunately, UCF did not get to play, you know, get in the Final Four, but they will be in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah, they still have a chance for another undefeated season and their second fake national championship in a row.
They'll have the banners, for sure.
And now UCF goes on to face LSU in the Fiesta Bowl, which I think we may talk about a little bit later.
Absolutely.
And Memphis goes to play Wake Forest in the Birmingham Bowl. Total of 73.5 looks a little bit short to me.
Yeah, no kidding. That team can score and gives up a lot of points. In our NFL picks this week, New Orleans were 8-point favorites at Dallas on Thursday Night Football. You know I'm all over the Cowboys, and they delivered for me. This was a huge game. I actually was kicking myself because I think we communicated via text. I was really waiting for the point spread to get to 7.5 because when we graded at 8, it actually went down to 7. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do it, and I was eyeing that money line bet, which was plus 285. Didn't do it. And then they end up winning the game 13-10. So Cowboys defense came through. Zeke Elliott was the man. And I guess that New Orleans Saints offense can be stopped at some point.
Yeah, that was quite an impressive performance by the Cowboys defense. We both thought that the Saints had one of the best offenses in the league.
They do.
And the Cowboys just stopped them cold on Thursday night. They shut out the Saints in the first half and were up 13-0 at halftime and just held on in the second.
They did. It was really close at the end. It looked like maybe the Saints could have scored, but yeah, I mean, it was a great game. I don't think that you'll see the same thing if they went to New Orleans in the playoffs, but who knows? That defense is really fast.
Yeah, there could be a rematch in the playoffs. That would be quite interesting.
Absolutely. Our last game was Minnesota was getting 6 points at New England. What did you see in that game, Steve?
Well, just as I predicted, Bill Belichick had his way with Kirk Cousins and that Vikings offense. They just couldn't move the ball at all. They had the one scoring drive in the first half, which kept it close for a moment. But after that, they just sat back and played coverage all day, and Kirk Cousins just couldn't do anything at all. Tom Brady was pedestrian, you know, standard 300 passing yards and a touchdown. And the Patriots did run the ball pretty well, too, although Devlin poached 2 touchdowns from my fantasy running backs.
I'm sure they did. Yeah, 160 yards rushing for New England. It's kind of the formula. They're running the ball a lot more this year with Michelle and, I guess, with White as well. I actually like that. I think it's preserving their defense. It's a smarter play. And in this game, Minnesota, as we were discussing before the pod, and we'll maybe touch on later, I think that Belichick kind of outsmarted DeFilippo a little bit on the offensive end, where he was just trying to drop coverage and making them run the ball. And Minnesota could not commit to the run, and they just kept throwing into coverage and really couldn't get anything going offensively. So,
yeah, Dalvin Cook has really been underimpressive this year. I know he's coming back from the injury, but sure. I thought by now that he would have kind of rounded into form and gotten back to his normal self, but I just haven't seen it yet.
No, he hasn't been dominant. And in fact, Latavius Murray's been a better runner than he has actually this year. So, all right, that segues right into our takeaways for the NFL in Week 13. First of all, Side Action Pod Picks go 5-0 in the NFL. All right.
Yeah, pat on the back for us. Broncos, Jets, Bills, Jags, and the Chargers all get into the window for us.
That's right. I mean, I know that I was kind of the Steelers. I actually ended up betting the Steelers, regretfully. You know, they had that game won, but the Jags, you were right on that handicap. The Jags played great football. They stuffed that Colts offense, and I didn't think that you'd shut down the Colts offense like that.
Yeah, Andrew Luck had an NFL record with consecutive games with 3 touchdown passes, and obviously they held him to 0 and the whole entire Colts team to 0 points.
That's right.
So that was quite impressive.
Our next game, Green Bay Packers, as I kind of mentioned, the Mike McCarthy era is over, thank God. He's terrible. I heard some note on, I think it was on ESPN or maybe VSiN, they were saying that former cornerback for the Steelers basically looked at tape for the Super Bowl in 2010 that they ended up losing to the Packers in. They basically are running the same plays now in 2018 as they did in 2010.
Wow.
So McCarthy just has not kept up with the offensive advancements in the NFL. They lost to the Cardinals at home, were 14-point favorites, and lost 20-17. It's insane.
Wow, the lowly Arizona Cardinals. I think they're near the bottom of the WEGS index.
They are tied for last.
Wow, that was just shocking and a rough outing for the Packers, and Mike McCarthy gets fired after the game.
As he should. All right, one of the notes that I like, Lamar Jackson is just making it happen for the Ravens. He got the starting role, and Joe Flacco has a quote-unquote back injury. I don't think they want him to come back because they just keep winning games. They've won 3 straight games. They went to Atlanta and shut down that high-potent Atlanta offense. They won 26-16. One of the things they're doing is the time of possession. I believe they had almost 40 minutes time of possession, 39 minutes and some change to Atlanta's just over 20. So that's how they're winning football games.
Yeah, an impressive performance. I thought for sure the freshman quarterback would run into some lumps on the road, his first road start. And he looked impressive on Sunday, although he did get knocked out there in the middle of the third quarter. And we had an RG3 sighting for a little bit, but the Ravens were able to hang on and win that game going away.
That's right. It's another win for me personally, too. That was exciting. Now, the Bears, I had to put this in there. You put this on here just to spite me. But the Bears, man, they just stunk. The opening drive, they throw a pick six. They lose to the Giants in overtime, 30-27. This game really reminded me of that Miami loss that we were talking about early in the season, where the Bears, they kind of had control early, and then they lost it, and then they came all the way back. And then in the overtime, they couldn't get it done. So, I mean, kudos to Tariq Cohen for his big game and his tying touchdown pass. But I don't really like how the Bears play defense on the road.
Yeah, OBJ was the star on Sunday, throwing another touchdown pass and then receiving touchdown as well. But it's got to be said that it's clear the Bears miss Mitchell Trubisky. Chase Daniel was not very good on Sunday. I think he put the ball on the ground half a dozen times, mm-hmm. and they were fortunate to recover at least four of those fumbles, so it could have been a lot worse, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the other thing is the Bears' offensive line woes, that, you know, everybody thought that that was the strength of the team. Mitchell Trubisky's elusiveness is kind of covered up that error, that those mistakes that they've made on the offensive line, mm-hmm. whereas Daniel can't get away from the pressure. So it's a lot different of an offense. How about the Texans? Ninth straight win over the Browns now, 29-13. They're tied with New England at 9-3 in the AFC. They're making it happen.
Yeah, another game where the final score isn't really indicative of what happened. The Cleveland Browns turned the ball over four times on Sunday, mm-hmm. and they got to a huge early hole and just couldn't come back from it. Houston kind of has been lucking into wins, and yeah. I think that is a little bit misleading in terms of their 9-3 record, and I think that may be a part of the pod later.
It might be. This guy, he loves throwing those foreshadowing comments in there. We already mentioned the Chargers and Pittsburgh. The Chargers were getting dominated in this game. They were down 23-7 at one point, and they came roaring back. They tied the game and kicked the game-winning field goal. But did you see how that worked at the end of the game? I was actually on pins and needles because if the Steelers would have won that game, I probably would have won the Mahar pool or been right in the mix for it. And the first attempt at the field goal, he missed it, but there was an offsides. The second attempt, he got blocked, but they were offsides again. And then the third one they made. So it was one of these things where I was looking, trying to get overtime to get my win. And the Chargers finally pulled it out.
Yeah, just a brutal loss for the Steelers. And I don't think it's anything that anyone saw coming, especially after the halftime score.
Right.
But a big win for the Chargers, and that should carry some serious momentum for them going into the last four games of the season.
Agreed. Cincinnati comes to town for them. And then the last game, I was talking about the Seahawks. They dominated the 49ers, not a surprise. They're basically in the playoffs as of today. And to me, one of the biggest surprises of the year, I got to apologize to our buddy Ridgeway, who is a huge Seahawks fan. I buried them before the season, and Pete Carroll has really made this team basically back into the old form that they used to do. They're running the ball effectively, playing great D, and Wilson's incredible this year.
Yeah, the running game has been really effective and dominating and just keeping that time of possession, keeping the defense off the field. I will say, though, the 49ers were impressive on Sunday. Hmm. They did turn the ball over a few times as
they
well.
Every week.
That helped the Seahawks get out to that big early lead. But the 49ers put up some yards against them on Sunday. And Nick Mullins was more impressive than he has been the last couple of weeks. So it might be a team I'll be eyeing as we close down to the end of the season here.
For sure. For sure. All right, well, let's transition into the college ranks now for football. We've kind of talked a little bit about championship Saturday. We didn't go over all the results, but the important thing is the Final Four is set now. We've got, you know, Alabama is one, Clemson is two, Notre Dame is three, and then Oklahoma sneaks in with the win over Texas. That means that Ohio State, Big Ten champion, isn't that 3 years in a row the Big Ten has not been in the final?
At least two. I can't recall the year before.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. Not that they deserved it, but it's just kind of noteworthy. What do you got here in terms of going forward when we get some of these bowls? How do we look at them?
Well, before looking forward, I want to touch on the Georgia Bulldogs a little bit because that was an impressive performance they had against Alabama, even in the loss. Mm-hmm. They got to Tua early, and it's clear that Tua wasn't 100% on Saturday. But the Georgia Bulldogs are a team I'm going to be looking for next year as we move into the offseason and what they've got returning. Jake Fromm should be back, and they're going to be pretty tough in that bowl game as well.
There's some crazy stat, and I'm not going to be perfect on it, but in the last two times that Georgia's played Alabama, they have led for all but like 2 minutes of the game. And it's kind of fascinating that Georgia has the model to beat this team. They just can't quite close. And this time it was Jalen Hurts that led them to the win. And he did play great. And I actually feel good for that kid. You know, early in the year when we talked about the Clemson starter who kind of got benched and he left the program, I mean, Jalen Hurts could have done something like that, or he could transfer. He's just been a good teammate. So I kind of feel good that he led them to the victory.
Yeah, model student athlete. The other game I wanted to hit on really quickly was the Big 12 championship.
Oh, man.
I was on Texas, as we talked about last week, and I really kind of feel like the Big 12 and the referees had it out for that team. The missed pass interference call in the third quarter really doomed them, and they still had a chance to get in the back door in the end, but just couldn't move the ball down the field.
I was surprised. I bet the over in the game, and it really didn't get that close. I think it was 77 or 78 that I got it at. And for some reason, it was inexplicable that Oklahoma was actually running the ball in the fourth quarter. They were kind of running clock. It was atypical of the way they play, but I agree with you. Texas kind of had their shots, and at the end, they actually could have scored again and maybe done an onside kick. But I mean, Oklahoma made it happen, and they're in the playoff. I don't know if they have a shot against Bama, but you know, they're in.
Kyler Murray was impressive too.
He's quick.
I tell you what, if Tua is still hurt 30 days from now, I would say they have a shot.
Well, we'll talk about the odds on the Heisman in a minute, but I think he's at the top, maybe the favorite.
Yeah.
Okay, so this comment here, you've got extra due diligence for the bowl games. As we approach bowl games, what are you suggesting our listeners do?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about a number of times on the show here that college football and college athletes in general, the motivation is something that you really kind of have to keep an eye on week in and week out. And I want to reiterate that it's even more important as you go into the postseason, into these bowl games, because year over year, you see some teams that are just not interested in playing in bowl games, and they just don't show up at all and get waxed.
Right.
And you can do all of the matchup analysis and look at the yards per play stats and the S&P plus that you want. But if you have a football team that just doesn't want to be there, like Auburn against UCF last year, then your bet has no chance.
Right.
So we've got this extra time. It's now the December 4th, and the first bowl games don't start until the 15th. So definitely try to read as much as you can on these matchups. If there's a spot that you like or a team that you're interested in betting on, make sure that there's some motivation there. One team that comes to mind is my Purdue Boilermakers. Jeff Brohm announced that he's coming back. Boiler up. And this team is going to play hard. Their coach is coming back, and they're going to want to show that they're ready to play next year too as they roll into the next season.
Yeah, on that point, there are a number of coaches that are leaving the program that won't be there for their bowl games, which is weird. I don't understand why that happens exactly. I guess it has to do with the recruiting calendar. But you know, teams that we've loved, I believe Utah State's coach is moving on. I'm not sure if North
Appalachian
Texas,
State.
Appalachian Just State.
There he's going to Louisville.
Right. So there's a lot of movement. Also, the future NFL draft picks. A lot of these guys are going to sit out these bowl games. They're already discussing it. And I think that you got to keep aware of what's happening. Because obviously, if their best player, you know, best receiver, whoever is not going to play in the game, they're not going to be as effective. And like you said, the metrics, which I love and I know Action loves, it's not going to be as effective to make your pick. So it may be a little bit tougher than I thought.
Yeah, I think I sent out a tweet earlier this afternoon, at least half a dozen players already who have announced they're not playing in the bowl games.
Yeah, it's just disappointing. I understand why it's livelihood and so on, but and that's why I think personally why the playoff matters. Like, I think that they should extend the playoff, maybe even beyond the 8 to like 16, get some real playoff in, because then the team, then I don't think the players would do that personally. If you're in a bowl game that is basically just going to bring money to the school, and they're going to lift up some little trophy that isn't the national championships trophy, they're basically valuing that that's not as important.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's look at some spots already, though. I mean, we do have a game on the calendar this Saturday of note. You've got Army versus Navy. This is played every year. What do you think on this game, Action?
Well, the line is Army minus 7 right now, and the total, as we speak, has plummeted down to 40. And for those of you who listened last week, I hope you were watching that total come up on Sunday, because curiously, Bet Online came out on Sunday afternoon with a total of 51, and as quickly as I could log in and try to hit it, I got in, it was 46, got my bet in, and then a few hours later, I look again, and it's 41, so... A crazy fast drop from 51 to 41. As it passed 42, I don't think there's any more value there. I certainly wouldn't recommend putting a wager on that, but it should be an interesting game. I'm certainly interested in watching it.
Okay. Yeah, this is one of those games, the last college game of the year, basically, in the regular season, and you know, has a lot of tradition, which is awesome. I usually try to check some of it out, but you don't have a side in this one. You're just talking about the total for the
Yeah, I'm not interested in Army or Navy.
Yeah, I mean, Army's ranked in the top 25. I'm not sure exactly why. I know they're a good team, and they played Oklahoma tough, but yeah, the total seems like the better bet. What about some of the bowl games that, as they laid out, I actually put quite a few down here this time, but because I've already done some analysis. You know, one of the ones I looked at is this LSU-UCF game that we've kind of alluded to already. It's a New Year's Six Bowl, and to me, I really like UCF here. I know the 7.5 is, it may be a point that LSU can do it because they probably have better players on the field. However, UCF is still playing for something. They're still playing for that national championship banner that they're going to put in their gym. And I just like that team, and hopefully they can do what they did on Saturday.
Yeah, I disagree with you on this one. I know they beat Auburn last year in the bowl game, but I think that Ed Orgeron is going to have his team a little bit more motivated.
Okay.
I haven't bet it yet because I'm hoping to squeeze out a 7. Okay. Hopefully there's more public bettors like you who are going to be on UCF.
Yeah.
But I also want to do some more research, too, and make sure that a lot of these LSU players are going to be on the field in the bowl game.
There's usually a lot of LSU players that go to the NFL, so that's a good call. Okay, what about the Notre Dame versus Clemson? You got that listed on there.
Yeah, one of the semifinal games that I hit already was Notre Dame plus 11.5. I did a little bit of research, and obviously there's no questioning the motivation here. Mm-hmm. Both teams are on the field to win, go to the national championship. The S&P Plus has this game as an 8-point margin, obviously with Clemson being favored. And I think there's some serious value here playing with Notre Dame and Ian Book and that passing offense. We know that Clemson has one of the best defensive lines in the country.
They do.
And they're going to limit some of the Irish running game. But Ian Book should be able to have some passing advantage here. And it's a fairly low total for two teams of this stature. The total is only 55. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at an underdog of almost 11.5 points and a total of 55, I think there's value there. So I jumped on it.
I like the analysis. I do think Notre Dame is the one team, even though you said Oklahoma, they probably don't have a chance against Alabama. Of the teams that are in the playoff, Notre Dame is getting the least amount of respect. I think nobody gives them a chance to win this national championship. So that's motivation enough. It's a totally storied franchise. The only thing for me is I got to be honest with you, with the injury to Tua, I know he's got a month to heal. Clemson is, to me, they're the best team right now in college. I know they haven't played anybody in a long time. So I'm a little bit worried about that. About this game. So I'm going to stay away, but I like your analysis. And I definitely think if the total is that low with the spread, that kind of makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. All right. What about Fresno, one of our teams that we talked about a lot? They're 4.5-point favorites against Arizona State, total of 52 in the Las Vegas Bowl. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I like Fresno State in this one. At first glance, I was doing analysis on this as well, and S&P Plus has them as 13 points better than Herm Edwards' team. And they have one of the best defenses in the country.
Right.
Arizona State's leading receiver has already announced that he's not going to play in the game. I haven't bet it yet. I'm certainly going to keep an eye on it as we tick closer to the Las Vegas Bowl on Saturday the 15th.
Right.
But I'm eyeing Fresno State.
Yeah, I'd be on Fresno too. I think that it's one of those situations where this is a team that if it kind of fell right, they could have been in a New Year's Six Bowl, realistically. They did end up beating Boise. We didn't mention that. They are actually the Mountain West champion. They went to Boise and avenged their loss a couple weeks ago. And they're just a better team than Arizona State. So unless they lose total motivation, I think they're going to win this game. So I agree with you on that. Another game that I'm looking at in similar fashion is Memphis, who lost to UCF here last weekend. They're 3.5-point favorites versus Wake. This game is going to be played on December 22nd. Memphis is just a better team. I think that this is one of these things that people are going to see, oh, ACC versus Memphis, what is this? In reality, Memphis is a much better team than Wake, and I wouldn't be surprised if that spread goes up because people are getting wise, but I haven't bet it yet, but I will look at that for sure.
Yeah, I believe this one's in Birmingham. We touched on it earlier, and I was looking at the total going over in this one because Wake puts up a lot of points too.
Okay, good to know. A couple other ones that I've noted already. I'm jumping all over action here since he's going to wait like he's a smart guy. I'm just looking, trying to dig in, do my research. Is Syracuse versus West Virginia. West Virginia's 7-point favorites right now. That's also played on December 28th. I love Will Grier, man. This is his last chance to light it up. You know, he's in the Heisman mix, but probably not going to win. I think that he's probably the best quarterback coming out, so he's going to want to show a good performance for all those NFL teams. And I think 7 points is not enough for a Syracuse team that's okay and definitely overmatched in the S&P Plus. All right, next one is Northwestern versus Utah. Northwestern, they gave Ohio State a great game in Indianapolis, but it ended up not covering the number. Utah is 6.5-point favorites there. They're playing on December 31st, and I just like the Utes. I think they're a better team. They're a really good defense. Northwestern does travel well with their fans and everything, but I think that Utah's going to take them down.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting matchup. Utah has a very good defense, as does Northwestern. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I agree with you. I'm going to have to dig into it a little bit deeper, but that Pat Fitzgerald knows how to coach. He's got some Fitz magic of his own.
He does.
That comeback in against Ohio State in the third quarter was looking strong until Urban Meyer squashed him.
That's right. Okay, and then the other two spots. This is a New Year's Six bowl game. Iowa is against Mississippi State. I don't actually know how Iowa gets to play on a New Year's Six bowl, to be honest with you. But Mississippi State is favored by 6.5. The Bulldogs are way up the S&P, and Iowa's just not. Maybe Mississippi State has a lot of players that are going to sit out, so I'll check closer to that game. But I just think Mississippi State's going to crush Iowa in this game.
Yeah, I haven't looked at this one too much, but I'm certainly interested in it too. You can't go wrong betting the SEC against Big Ten in bowl season.
Exactly. And the last matchup that I'm basically interested in, and I guess it might come down to the analysis you're talking about, is Georgia is going to play against Texas in the final New Year's Six Bowl. I think that's the Sugar Bowl or whatever. They're 10.5-point favorites against Texas. Georgia can go one of two ways here. They could basically be like Auburn was and not show up and say, we didn't get invited. Mm-hmm. Or they can just destroy their opponent. And I do believe it's going to be the latter, that they're going to destroy Tom Herman and this team. Yeah, Herman's been a underdog guy, although it seems to have lost his touch lately. But I do think Georgia will big boy Texas in this game.
Yeah, I like this one too. It definitely intrigues me. As we touched on earlier, a lot of these Georgia Bulldogs are underclassmen, so they don't have their eyes on the NFL quite yet. Mm-hmm. And I expect that they're going to be motivated to play a good game against Texas. And they certainly have the better team, the more talent on the offensive side of the ball, without a doubt.
No doubt. All right. Just to review that the matchups for the playoff, which, you know, they're kind of weird. They're playing on the 29th, I think.
Is yeah, right? Saturday the 29th. Mm-hmm.
And then they're played, what's the second date? It's another week later?
I'm sure it's the Monday after, yeah. So that would be January 6th.
Yeah, exactly. So the first matchup is Notre Dame, as we mentioned, 11.5-point dogs against Clemson. And then the other one is Oklahoma. They're 14-point dogs against Alabama. Any ideas, comments? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on earlier. I've already bet on Notre Dame 11.5, and I'm certainly going to be keeping an eye on Oklahoma and their injury to Brown, the receiver.
Oh yeah, right.
And also Tua's injury too is going to be a huge factor in which way this game teeters, whether it goes up a little bit from there or down closer to 10.
Mm-hmm. Be curious to see if Oklahoma is going to decide to just try to run with Alabama and just run and score, or they're going to try a different approach. I mean, their defense isn't very good, but maybe they try a varied approach, kind of like they did at the end against Texas. I'm not sure.
The total in that one's going to be very interesting to monitor, too, with some of the offensive injuries. Alabama should be able to score on, like, every possession.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, let's talk about the Heisman Trophy odds right now. So for most of the year, you know, we know Tua was the guy, right? But he's obviously a little banged up, and he's had maybe not great performances the last 2 weeks. Your guy Kyler Murray's up there. So what are we looking at right now in terms of the odds for the Heisman Trophy?
I was just fascinated to see the flip that happened this week, where Tua Tagovailoa went down with an injury and got knocked out of that game. And Kyler Murray obviously played really well in the Big 12 championship. And wouldn't you know it, Bet Online flipped the favorite. Kyler Murray's now a -145 favorite. Tua's the second favorite at +125. And then you've got Haskins and Will Greer bringing up the rear. So I just thought it was fascinating after that one performance. I mean, really, it's the year performances that culminate to the Heisman Trophy. And I know a lot of voters usually wait until that championship weekend to put their ballots in. So maybe that plays a factor.
It must. I agree with you 100%. Tua has been the guy all year. He didn't have a terrible performance. I mean, he also got hurt. I mean, Murray's been great, but he's been playing in a different league. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised by that. So whoever had their tickets out there already on Tua, you might be able to maybe make some more money back if he wins, because he's plus money, +125. So we didn't say it, but Murray's what, -145. Tua's +125. I'm a little surprised to see Haskins ahead of Greer personally, too. Mm-hmm. I know that Haskins played good against Michigan, but it's not like he's been doing great things in every game, but He's plus 1,600 and Will Greer is plus 2,500.
Yeah, usually the betting odds in the offshore books tell a big story in these types of things.
Okay.
So I would expect that Murray is going to win the Heisman Trophy, which would be pretty shocking after Tua's year.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the other notes that before we move on to the NFL, I heard on VSiN this week is that FanDuel in New Jersey, I believe, has already paid out the Alabama futures for the national championship. They chose to do that. I'm not exactly sure. I guess they maybe were looking at exposure, but they're basically pitching it as like a marketing ploy.
Interesting.
But that's weird that before they even play the first semifinal.
Now, do they take that money back if Alabama happens to lose?
No. Oh, really? They don't. They're paying it out.
Wow.
So if you picked Alabama, you win your money.
That's crazy.
It's weird. All right, well, let's transition to the NFL now. Let's look at our yards per play net statistics here. Has there been any major changes? Well, it looks like you got a new team up. What was the Chargers number one last week? There, so our top five in net yards per play are the Chargers at 1.3. Kansas City drops to 1. Pittsburgh's at 1. And you got the Rams, Baltimore, Chicago all tied at 0.6.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem to be changing much week over week. The Chicago Bears are still up there, and the Rams and Bears will face off on Sunday night. That should be a great game.
That's right. The bottom five, we have Oakland at minus 1.1, Arizona minus 0.9, Miami minus 0.9, the Jets minus 0.8, and Detroit minus 0.8. It seems like the usual suspects for those guys.
Yeah, the one that jumped out at me here is Miami Dolphins, who are still in the playoff contention in the AFC and near the bottom of the league in yards per play. That just kind of shows you how miraculous some of their wins have been.
Yeah, they host New England this week. That'll be an interesting game. New England usually plays very poorly in Miami. I don't think that they're going to beat them this time, but we'll see. The Wegs Pool Index is pretty simple. Bears number one. You've got a tie at number two with the Saints and Chargers, so it kind of reflects the net yards per play a little bit for the Chargers. The Rams at 4, and the Texans have jumped up to number 5.
Wow.
They've jumped the Ravens at 6 and Patriots at 7, so they basically jumped a couple of slots. So what's interesting here is we discussed that the Texans are 1-9 straight. They're obviously doing something right, but a lot of it's been smoke and mirrors, but maybe not. Maybe the metrics are showing that they're actually playing really good defense, and they are scoring quite a bit as well, so I'm going to trust the index. The Texans are legit.
Okay. That could be a head-to-head pick later.
Hey, foreshadowing. Some notable injuries. It's actually official now. James Conner is ruled out for Week 14, so he has a high ankle sprain, and it went from a contusion to an ankle sprain, and now he's out, so that's watch that. It may be a multiple-week injury as well.
Yeah. Could be the Jalen Samuels era in Pittsburgh.
It will be. A.J. Green is out for the year. He killed my fantasy hopes, by the way, if I told you that. He is going to have foot surgery. He's out for the year. Greg Olsen, the tight end for Carolina, has torn his plantar fascia. He's out for the year. So, that's another problem with Carolina, who's just been plummeting. And then Colt McCoy, who's the quarterback of Washington, has broke his leg. It's the Mark Sanchez era. Can't believe that. To me, it's like poor Washington. They start off 6-3. They've lost 3 straight, and looks like they're going to lose some more.
Yeah, the team's been decimated by injuries. First Alex Smith and now Colt McCoy after all the offensive line injuries, too, that we talked about. So just a rough season for
the Redskins. The two backup guards that came in are also injured.
Wow.
So you're going to go third string on that line. So Adrian Peterson, he had a weird stat yesterday. He had a 90-yard touchdown run, as you probably saw, but he didn't break 100 yards in the game rushing.
Yeah, that was an incredible run by a 33-year-old Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he's galloping there. So what spots do you like in Week 14 in the NFL action?
Well, I think we both are on this game, but I'll let you touch on the Baltimore edge. I like the under in this Baltimore-Kansas City game, and my reason is fairly simple. This Ravens running game has been incredible the past 3 weeks.
That's right.
The last three games, they've averaged 238 yards rushing. And Lamar Jackson has clearly shown a little different dynamic. And I expect that they're going to come into Kansas City with the exact same game plan and run the ball all up and down Kansas City. They have the last ranked rushing defense and Football Outsiders DVOA. And I think that the Ravens are going to be able to control the clock, keep it out of Mahomes' hands, and keep the scoring down under 53. So that's probably my favorite play of the weekend, in fact.
The under. And I like the side. I like the Ravens getting 7 points. It is on the road, but defense travels. They went to the Falcons and just shut down Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. I mean, Julio Jones, they get 18 yards receiving. So I do think that this is a game that also has motivation on the line, though. Baltimore has to keep winning to stay in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Kansas City, they actually have to win the game. If they don't win this game, then they go into the matchup against the Chargers next Thursday, basically playing for the division. So it's going to be a great football game. It's definitely one of my highlighted matchups this week. The other game, I think we're both on this one. Jacksonville is going to Tennessee. Jacksonville's getting 4.5 points. And for me, it's simple. Jacksonville is playing spoiler now. They've gotten rid of Blake Bortles, the turnover machine. They played an ugly game, but they beat the Colts 6-0. Again, defense travels. Tennessee has not been playing well. They did win this past week. Basically, they were trailed. I think they were down 13-0 to the Jets. And so I see something similar where if Jacksonville can get up in this game, they might just strangulate this offense. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. All over Jacksonville here. We talked about them last week with the defense being extra motivated. Mm-hmm. The quarterback change to Cody Kessler has seemed to reinvigorate that defense. And watching the game on Sunday, it looked like they were ready to play for that new quarterback. And Kessler was safe with the ball. He didn't try to do too much. They didn't turn it over. And they were in that game, obviously blanked the Colts, and I expect that they may be able to have a similar performance against Marcus Mariota this weekend. Mm. I noticed, too, that Mariota popped up on the injury report this morning with a right-hand injury, which should limit him even more.
Gotcha. Okay. One of the games we'll talk about in the head-to-head on the side is Atlanta is traveling to Green Bay. The total is 48.5. What do you say on that one?
Yeah, I like the over in this one, especially if you can get it under that key number. I would recommend jumping on it pretty quickly because I think it may rise.
Sure.
Certainly going to keep an eye on the weather, but Atlanta's offense we know is potent, and I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to play with a little bit extra motivation this weekend without his head coach, former head coach, and he'll be looking to put some points on the board on Sunday. That's part of my handicap later.
I like that. Okay, another game that I'm not sure if you're on with me, but I definitely like it. The Panthers, who are playing really poorly, are going to the Browns. The Browns are a home dog. They get 2 points at home. The Browns aren't playing wonderfully, but they're playing competitively. They did turn the ball over, as you noted, against Houston last week. And the Panthers, I don't know what happened to this team. They were 6-3 as well. They've lost 3 straight. Cam is not accurate. He lost his safety blanket in Greg Olsen.
Yep.
I don't really know what's happening with that team. I think Riverboat Ron might be on the firing line soon. And the Browns play better at home. So I like those 2 points at home, and I'm going with it.
Yeah, I like that angle, too. I think that the Browns' defense is set up nicely to handle McCaffrey out of the backfield, too.
Okay.
And will be able to limit his yards after the catch and keep that Panthers offense down.
Nice. The last game of note is the Eagles at Cowboys. This is a marquee game because it's really... really, the Eagles have to win to stay in the hunt for the playoffs. The Cowboys win this game. I think they win the division. They're 4-point favorites at home. I'm all over the Cowboys. I just don't see this team losing to the Eagles, who played well last night against a depleted Washington team. And I think ultimately 4 points really isn't enough. I think they're going to beat them soundly in this game. Hopefully it'll be a competitive game, but I definitely will keep riding the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like that angle too. 4 points might be a little too much to get me to the window. It seems like these two teams play close every year, both home and away. So the extra point there over the field goal could be valuable, but certainly Zeke has been hot.
He's been red hot. All right, let's talk a little bit about these futures, about the Green Bay head coach. And it's funny how these things come out so quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So McCarthy gets fired, and as he should. What do you got for these odds?
Well, John DeFilippo, you mentioned earlier, is the current favorite at plus 200.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other hot names, Josh McDaniels is plus 225.
Sure.
Adam Gase, interesting enough, is plus 500. And Jim Harbaugh, plus 800 to be the next Green Bay Packers coach. Just a short trip from Ann Arbor up to Green Bay.
That's right. Just go over the UP there. I think I like Lincoln Riley at plus 1,000.
Okay.
I think that he will definitely be in the NFL next year. I just don't know. It could be in Cleveland because obviously Coach Baker. But he is the kind of offensive mind they need in Green Bay, to be honest with you. I've written on my blog basically that, you know, I don't mind the Packers losing at all. So I wish McCarthy was still there. If you get a quality head coach, it's kind of bad for the Bears. But DeFilippo, as I might have mentioned earlier, that maybe we talked before the pod, that Belichick basically challenged DeFilippo to run the ball, you know, against them on Sunday, and he wouldn't. Uh-huh. And one of the rationales that were discussed on VSiN this week was that you're not going to get a head coaching job running the football. So he was throwing and throwing and throwing. So DeFilippo, I think that he's a good coordinator, but he's one of these guys that's just too into the passing game. And I think it may work with Rodgers, but I think one of the other guys on this list would be better.
Yeah, McDaniels is probably my pick here. I'm not going to be betting on it, but he almost took the Colts job last year until he backed out at the end. So right. I expect that the Packers are going to be looking for an offensive-minded coach, and he fits the bill.
No doubt. No doubt. Okay, well, let's transition to the college hoops talk. So the side action plays, thank you for giving me credit, even though I think you did all these, but went 2-1 last week. That's excellent. So what can you say about last week?
Yeah, winning week. There's a lot of big games last week. The ACC and Big Ten Challenge took place, and the competition finished in a 7-7 draw, which was a little anticlimactic. But there were some huge wins. Michigan trounced North Carolina at home. Louisville got a big win at home versus Michigan State. Rutgers got a big upset on the road at Miami. And Syracuse got a road win as well at the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That zone is tough to handle with Syracuse. I'm surprised Rutgers got a win. Maybe they're better this year.
Yeah, Rutgers is looking pretty good. They play some serious defense and actually played Wisconsin close last night and got another cover for me. So
nice. Do you know who their coaches?
Steve Peichel.
Okay.
Peichel.
I got to figure out his pedigree. I like that. I always like defensive-minded coaches in basketball because ultimately, come tournament time, that's what wins. But and we just talked about Louisville. I really like that team because Chris Mack's just such a great coach, and he took over a program that really needed somebody who had a steady hand and wasn't, you know, bringing the strippers in.
Yeah, I haven't got to see Louisville play much this year, but they play Indiana on Saturday, which should be a great game.
Nice. All right. Well, I did a little bit of work up on my side before we jump into yours, and I'll just kind of touch on this each week. For me, I do an analysis pretty quickly of KenPom's ratings versus the AP just to kind of look at overrated and underrated teams. For me, that also hopefully will translate into betting because I know that the public always likes certain teams, you know, alma maters and so on. To me, the top overrated teams this week are Maryland, Iowa, Buffalo, Arizona State, and Furman. Sorry, actually, I know you love Furman. And so that, you know, I'm kind of looking at it last night. I saw Iowa was playing Michigan State at Michigan State, who's really tough in the Breslin Center, let's face it. And Michigan State destroyed Iowa. So that's the kind of angle I'm looking for. Look for one of these teams that maybe has a little bit too much public love, and I'll go against them. Versus the underrated teams out there, Purdue, that's your Boilermakers. Iowa State, Syracuse, aforementioned Syracuse in that zone. Florida and West Virginia, these teams are all not ranked at the moment, and they should be. So I think that they will in the coming weeks, and once we kind of more metrics come down and more games, you'll see those teams rise and the other teams I mentioned fall.
Yeah, interesting. Florida and West Virginia face off tonight at Madison Square Garden. Should be something worth watching.
Yeah, it's a great game. They have one of the best centers in college basketball for defensively. Konate, I think his name is. If you remember last year, action, we were on the guys' trip and we watched West Virginia play Marshall. And that dude was blocking shots left and right. He is just a machine. So I would like to see that guy play some defense.
Yeah, I think that your angle here is spot on. Odds makers obviously have to play against public perception. What's greater in public perception than the AP poll?
That's right.
Everyone looks every Monday morning to see who's top five, who's top 10 in the AP poll. So I like your angle.
Nice. Well, tell me a little bit about your power rankings right now, your top 10, the Action NCAA Hoops power ratings.
Yeah, so a bit unchanged from last week. I've got Duke number one.
Okay.
And worth noting here that they're 3.3 points better than the number two rated team, North Carolina.
Wow.
So the difference between number two and number seven is 3 points, and the difference between Duke and number two is 3 points.
Wow.
Goes to show you how good that team has been so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
After North Carolina, it's Gonzaga at three, Kansas and Nevada round out the top five.
Right.
Then Auburn, Michigan, Michigan State, Virginia, and Kentucky. A couple of teams that may look foreign in here are North Carolina at number two, and Kentucky as well, which jumps into the top 10, even though they're quite a bit down in the AP poll. And mostly that's due to their rebounding numbers and their field goal percentage.
Right, right, for sure. I mean, just to match up against KenPom, because, you know, that's what I use for comparison. I mean, North Carolina's at 7 in KenPom, so, I mean, they're a really solid team. It kind of mirrors. Your Virginia is 9, whereas in KenPom they're at 4. They're pretty high. And then Kentucky's actually down at 16 in KenPom, so that's kind of interesting from what you see. But these are really good basketball teams, there's no doubt. And Michigan, as we noted last week, they play great defense. They're all the way up at 5 in KenPom, so these are good teams, and they're playing Northwestern.
Yeah, right? Tough test tonight at Northwestern. Certainly a game I'll be tuning into as soon as we jump off recording here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. So what spots are you eyeing this week for college basketball?
A couple of games I picked out on the schedule that I'm interested in betting. And the first one is on Friday night. The Arizona State Sun Devils are playing against Nevada at the Staples Center in L.A.
Great game.
And we talked about earlier, Nevada is rolling, and I saw them in person roll over Loyola last week. But this Arizona State team is playing really well, and it's going to be the best opposing offense that Nevada has faced all year. They're 42nd in offensive efficiency at 111 points per 100 possessions and 19th in offensive rebounding. That's a team that is not what Nevada is used to playing, and I think they may struggle a little bit defensively and allow the Aztecs to hang in this game. Arizona State can play defense too, which should be able to disrupt the offensive flow from the Martin twins. And I've got this as a 7-point margin on a neutral, which this is a neutral. And I'll be looking to play at Arizona State anything at 9.5 or more. I expect it'll come out in that range, and I'll be jumping on the Sun Devils.
Interesting. I'm just learning about college basketball and the betting world. I've always been straight up pool type stuff, so this is new. I do love Nevada. Their metrics are great. In my metrics, I believe they're number one in offense and KenPom's rating.
They are indeed.
But they're also 38th in defense, so this will be an interesting matchup. I think that it'll be a good test case for your index, and I'll figure out how mine works. All right. The next game you've got is Iowa State versus Iowa. The total is 152. You like the over in that game for Thursday?
Yeah, it's Thursday night game, so no spread booked yet, but I'm expecting to see it around 152.
Okay.
And I'm going to be betting the over in this game. These two teams historically play at a very fast pace, and even faster when they play against each other. They're 16th and 23rd in pace, according to KenPom, respectively. And I just looked back over the past couple of years at some of the totals in this matchup, and they hit 162 last year, down a little bit in 16 at 142, and then 165 points in 2015. And I expect that there's going to be another fast pace on Thursday night in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And at anything near 152, I'm going to bet over.
I like that. You got to figure a lot of those guys played each other in high school or something, probably the same recruiting area. So that's probably a fun game for both sides. The other game you've noted here is Marquette versus Wisconsin on Saturday. That's kind of a in-state rivalry game, Saturday on the 8th. What do you like in that game?
I'm hoping I can get Marquette in this one at a pick'em or 1 or 2 point favorite. I think that Wisconsin probably will be a little bit more rated by the odds makers in this one. And even though they play great defense, that Marquette Golden Eagles guard Marcus Howard is a scoring machine.
Yeah,
I think he put up 45 this weekend against Kansas State. Ooh. It was impressive. Wow. And another major difference in this one is the free throw shooting percentage. I expect it's going to be a close game, and if it's tight and Marquette gets to the line, they should have the edge.
Yeah, you've noted that Ethan Happ, he's shooting 42%, and the guy gets fouled a lot. It's Hack a Happ, I guess, because he's terrible. But I don't understand why he's a pretty good shooter generally. Yeah. So,
yeah, I've been impressed this year with his scoop shots. He's got a new like right-handed and left-handed scoop. He reaches around the defender and flips it in the basket. But he certainly can't shoot free throws, there's no doubt.
Crazy. A couple games that I am going to test my system on are tonight's games, as we talked about, the Michigan-Northwestern game. I love that Michigan defense, and they are way higher in the KenPom rating. So I would definitely be on the Michigan side, but I'm going to see what happens. By the time the pod comes out, we'll know.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We talked about earlier some reverse line movement on Northwestern, which surprised both of us. But I think Michigan's going to crush them too, and I hope so.
The other game is Indiana is getting 2.5 points at Penn State. Penn State is 13 points worse than the KenPom ratings. I don't know. I mean, I'm just testing it out. I personally would probably take Indiana in the 2.5, but I think you said you wouldn't do that.
No, I actually bet on the Penn State Nittany Lions, and as I look over my shoulder here in the background, the Hoosiers are up 31-30 with 20 seconds left in the first half, so hopefully we can wrap this up soon and I can watch the second half.
I know, you're on the pins and needles over here. All right, well, with that, let's wrap up with our head-to-head segment.
Sure.
We put in a couple college picks, and we'll put some disclaimers. Our first one is going to be let's do the first one, Nebraska at Minnesota. So Nebraska is favored by 3 points going on the road. This game is being played tomorrow, Wednesday on the 5th. And what's the on this one, Action?
Well, I'm going to take the Minnesota Golden Gophers as the home dog here in this one. I've seen them play a couple times this year, and they've got some good bigs. And the angle that I like is their rebounding metrics. They are 49th in home offensive rebounding percentage, whereas if you look at Nebraska's numbers, they're only 139th in defensive rebounding. Okay. So I like rebounding. You know, it's a big part of my metrics, and I think that Minnesota being home, getting 3 points should be my play here.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, a couple things. I mean, I just haven't been jumping into college that much in basketball yet, but I know from last year, Nebraska is one of those teams that didn't make the NCAA tournament because of their resume. And one of the things that they didn't do a lot was win on the road. So there's probably going to be a point of emphasis to try to get this game, you know, just for the resume, because they don't want to be missed out. The other thing I like is in KenPom, they're 21st ranked. They're kind of matching up with their AP ranking, which is good, and that's pretty rare. Minnesota's down to 55. Nebraska's 18th in defense. I like this team, so I'm going to just stick with Nebraska in this one. It's early. I'm sure you'll come back on me here, but I'll give you those 3 points and hopefully get the win. The next game we'll talk about in college basketball is Tennessee is playing Gonzaga on a neutral court at this was Talking Stick, right? Somewhere in Arizona?
Yeah, in Phoenix. Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee is actually getting 4 points against Gonzaga. We should make the disclaimer. We're putting this at 4 points. We don't know what the line is yet. But in our head-to-head, we're going to grade it at 4 points. It's something we're trying to figure out. The game's on Sunday, though, and it's on the 9th, so probably won't come out until late Friday or Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Zags because I love the Zags, and they're so high-rated in both KenPom and just every rating that I have. Their defense isn't as great as it should be. It's rated 31st, but they're second in offensive efficiency. And I just, as good as Tennessee is, I mean, they're 13th in KenPom. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with the Zags.
Yeah, this should be one of the games of the weekend, and I can't wait to watch it on Sunday. I'd be happy to take the Volunteers here, plus 4 points. Mm-hmm. This team plays some serious defense. It's going to be a contrast in styles with that Gonzaga offense going up against the highly rated Tennessee D. And they've got some bruisers on the inside that I think will be able to hang with Rui Hachimura and stop him on the inside. That Admiral Schofield is one of my favorite players in the nation. He hits the glass and just puts his heart out on every play. So I'm going to be back in Tennessee plus 4.
Okay. It's a great call. We'll see. We'll test our indexes head-to-head there. All right, we move to the NFL. The two games we've kind of already previewed a little bit. We've got the Colts going to Houston. Houston's 4.5-point favorites. I already said I believe Houston is for real. My index is showing it. They're number 5 in my index for a reason. As much as I like the Colts as a playoff team in general, I don't know if I like them in this game. So I'm going to go with Houston. I'll give you the 4.5 points. And I think that that defense might play a lot like Jacksonville did against the Colts last week. What do you say?
Well, I like the Indianapolis Colts to bounce back here. They've got a revenge angle that they're playing too, not to mention they're 2 games back in the division, and they absolutely need this one if they want to have any chance at coming back on the Houston Texans. And really, the Houston Texans defensive line is where they make their hay.
Right.
And as we've talked about, that Indianapolis Colts offensive line is one of the best in the leagues. They've been keeping Andrew Luck upright, and I think their offense should have a little bit more success this weekend than they did against Jacksonville last week.
And you probably won't have Wright going for fourth down in minus territory this week.
Yeah, hopefully if they're tied, he'll decide to take the tie this time so that I win with the plus 4.5.
There you go. The last game in the head-to-head are the Falcons and Packers. You know, wah-wah, not a very marquee matchup, but it's really the disappointing bowl. Green Bay is favored by 6 points at home. And what say you in this one, Action?
Well, I think I touched on it earlier, but I'm all over the Green Bay Packers here. There's been a line move already since Mike McCarthy got fired. It was the look ahead was -4,
right,
and now it's out to -6. And I'm going to be following it based on purely speculation that the Packers are going to be more motivated. Their coach is gone, and usually you see this happen with NFL teams where the coach is gone and the team really rallies around each other and they come out and play harder to kind of prove that, hey, you know, we're still a football team, the professionals. And I think that Aaron Rodgers will be especially motivated because there's been a well-documented feud between him and McCarthy. And I think that he's got a point to prove this weekend to go out and show that he's the winning formula. And now that he's shed McCarthy, he can prove it on the field.
All right. Well, you actually, you don't want to say it on the pod, but I think I heard a ghost story that maybe A-Rod held back a little bit on Sunday to make sure that McCarthy got out the door. So to me, I don't know how this team's going to react. I don't think the Green Bay secondary is very good. I think their linebackers are okay. The Falcons have really good weapons on the outside and a tight end. They're playing for pride. They got beat last week by a really solid team in the Ravens at home. Green Bay's defense isn't the same. And maybe you're right. Maybe they'll come and play great football. I actually think it's going to be a really good game. It'll be much closer than the 6. So it's not necessarily that Atlanta will win the game, but I think it'll be a little closer than that 6-point show. So give me those 6 points, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's a good handicap, too. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us on this episode of Side Action Podcast, episode 15. We've got a couple things that are trying to move around. We're trying to get some things going for some live events and maybe some marketing opportunities. But we also are on Spotify, as we might have mentioned last week. I was showing that to a friend when we were out, and we are definitely on there. So thank you, everybody, for spreading the word and getting people to listen. Hopefully you're winning some money. And if you are, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us know on Twitter and Gmail if you're winning money. Certainly continue to send your questions in. We love talking about the podcast listeners' questions. And make sure you subscribe and unsubscribe and leave us comments and ratings on iTunes and now Spotify so that we can generate some more buzz and grow this listener base a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you can follow me personally at Wegspool on Twitter and actually now on Instagram. Woohoo! I haven't put anything up there, but we'll try to put it out there. Follow the podcast itself at Side Action Pod on Twitter.
And follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And I will definitely say that Steve is really good about putting out picks for the pod on Twitter. So he does daily picks, especially for basketball, since we're not able to cover everything on the podcast itself. So he gives you winners. I mean, might as well make money if you can do it.
Yeah, if that action index keeps producing winners, I'll have to post more of them.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.